You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing? Silence. Silence on a production line means downtime. Downtime means wasted time. Wasted time means wasted money. Silence isn't golden, kid. It's deadly. That's why I love Grainger. With a wide variety of the latest products, Grainger gets us what we need when we need it to help keep this place up and running and humming away. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's new information about a first grader from New Jersey who is suspected to have died of bacterial meningitis last week. Dr. Hanai Hamdi of the Newark Department of Health says the six-year-old was in class at the Oliver Street School while infected.
The ongoing investigation of the suspected meningitis case just revealed that the child attended the school at the height of the infection.
State health officials are now urging parents who have children at the school to contact their pediatricians and to be on the lookout for any symptoms of the illness. Some people are criticizing a Navy veteran for photographing a baby wrapped in an American flag. Professional photographer Vanessa Hicks tells Fox News' Fox and Friends that she stands by her decision to post the picture on her website.
I did not feel that I had done anything wrong. I felt that this photo represents what every military member, past, present, and future, fights for.
The photos in question are of a newborn infant wrapped in a flag held by his father, who was in his Navy uniform. She says her intention was to honor the flag and the family's military service in the newborn photo shoot. Hicks says she's shocked by accusations that her photos desecrate the flag. She says her photos have gone viral and most of the thousands of comments she's gotten are positive. She's also donating 15% of proceeds from her business to the USO as a way to give back. Hicks' husband is deployed overseas with the Navy. Navy veteran Vanessa Hicks tells Fox News, Fox and Friends, she thinks the photo tells an important message.
This flag and this picture represents everything it is to be a service member and to serve this great country.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why businesses in America are about to lose $1.9 billion in the next month, why millennials are not job hoppers, the four ways entrepreneurship changes you, why Costco is breaking up with American Express, and how to use LinkedIn to advance your career. It's Thursday, March 12, 2015, and taking care of business starts right now. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 44 degrees at 12:06. Today, it'll be sunny with a high of 48 degrees and a low of 26. There is a flood warning in effect for today as the snow melts and rivers are up from recent rains. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny skies with a high of 51 and a low of 36. For Saturday, cloudy skies and heavy rain throughout the day is expected with a high of 55 and a low of 41. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 51 and a low of 33. Looks like temperatures could reach the mid-50s by next week. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 191.37 to 17,826.76, the NASDAQ up 25.96 to 4575.90, S&P 500 up 19.29 to 2059.53, oil is down 47 cents to $47.70 per barrel, gold up 80 cents to $1,153.20 per ounce. Well, as I mentioned, you are listening to Taking Care of Business. My name is Jim Gannot. I'm your host, and I'll be with you in here in the captain's chair for the next, 53 minutes or so. Also the owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington, signs by Crown, Crown Promotional, Crown Custom Apparel, and just about anything else with the name Crown on it here in Flemington, New Jersey. Just glad to be working here in Flemington, running a business here in Flemington, and I'm not sure that everybody can say that. There's a lot going on. If you picked up today's edition of the Hunterdon County Democrat, you can see that there's just, we're right back into the thick of the trash talk and everything else that's going on in this town. And for the longest time, it appeared as if the future of Flemington was dependent on the Union Hotel. And there's a lot of players and a lot of pieces to this puzzle, but here's what's going on now. The owners of the Union Hotel, Liam Burns and Matt McPherson, apparently have now been sued by one of their investors, saying they reneged on a promise or defaulted on a loan. They're looking for payback on that. Liam and Matt had closed Bensi restaurant in Flemington, which had the liquor license, which was going to be transferred to the Union Hotel. Now Bensi is back open about 4 weeks after it had originally closed. So just an absolute mess. I'm working on getting some of the principals in on one of the programs upcoming. I'd like to get the mayor here. I'd like to get Matt here. I'd like to get a couple of people involved and just figure out what the heck is going on so that we can sort this out and figure out what is best for the future of Flemington. Here you have a building that was built in the 1800s, served its last overnight guest back in the 1950s, closed as a restaurant in 2008. It is time, folks, and the building is falling apart. It's time. And I hate to be the one to say this, but I think it's time for the wrecking ball to come in, knock down the Union Hotel. We can always put a plaque up there that says this is the site of the Union Hotel, but it has long since passed its useful purpose, and it's time to go and put in something that, this town can use, whether it's a community center or a performing arts center or something like that. But the fact that we're still arguing over the future of Flemington and that so many people are hinging the future of Flemington and the future success of Flemington on this dilapidated building, is it's just exceeded my patience level at this point. Sad news this Monday, early Monday morning, the Sergeantsville Inn had a devastating fire. This is a 300-year-old building, and if you've ever been there, I love the Sergeantsville Inn. It's started out as someone's home. It's been a grain and feed mill. It's been a tavern, and for many years, it's just been a great place to go and get a relaxing dinner. We've celebrated Mother's Day there several times. Just a absolutely devastating fire. They had to call in about 14 different fire units from around the county and even from Pennsylvania to come in with pumper trucks to help put out the blaze. There is a Facebook page out now called Save the Inn, and this is where people are trying to rally support for the inn owners. So hopefully they'll be able to rebuild, and this is a 300-year-old building, so I'd hate to see that lost, and I'd hate to see the Sergeantsville Inn lost. So if you're interested, go to Facebook, look up Save the Inn, and like that page so you can be updated on what's going on with the Sergeantsville Inn. Now, that's a restaurant. So one of the things I mentioned in the preview is that there's something I would like everybody who's listening to do, and then I want you to go out and I want you to talk to your friends about it and encourage them to do the same thing, and your coworkers and things like that. But over the course of the last, particularly the last 2 months, but this entire winter, everybody was complaining about how cold it was, how snowy it was, how icy it was, and what we found was that people just weren't going out. So what I would like to ask you to do for the next two weekends is take your significant other, take your wife, your kids, take your friends, meet old friends, and go out to restaurants and get a nice dinner. Right now, most restaurants are reporting that their sales are down almost 38%. And some restaurants are having to let staff go. They just can't make the ends meet. And so before we start seeing a rush of restaurants closing down because the economy, this particular economy, the frozen economy, has impacted them so severely, I'd like to see if we can't make a change to that. So whether it's going out for a couple slices of pizza, a nice Italian meal, a steak or something like that, grab your friends, grab your family, grab your significant other, and treat them to a night out on the town and go out to dinner, maybe this Friday or Saturday. It was a couple weeks ago on a Saturday night. It was snowing, and I was called over to a friend's house. Her son had a seizure, and I couldn't help but think about how with 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground, nobody was going anywhere. It was hard enough just to get an ambulance to the house, so I knew that nobody was going to be going out to dinner. In the preview, I also projected that businesses in the next month are gear up to lose about $1.9 billion. Now, what causes that? It's a phenomenon that happens every year. It's unpreventable, but it's all related to the NCAA March Madness. And it's bad for the workplace productivity, but it's good for building employee morale. Now, the NCAA hoops in March Madness is a productivity killer at the office. The lost time employees spend crafting brackets, streaming games, or checking scores could total $1.9 billion. From the time the basketball tournament field of 68 teams is announced on March 15th on Selection Sunday to the time the title game is played on April 6th, the cost in terms of lost wages paid to distracted and unproductive workers could reach as high as $1.9 billion, according to calculations by global outplacement firm Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. Isn't that funny that an outplacement firm is the one doing all these calculations? Blame it on bracket mania, but starting at work on Monday, March 16th, corporate internets will likely be clogged with workers trying to come up with the winning bracket for whatever betting pool that they are involved in, says John Challenger, who's the CEO of Challenger, Gray. Now, with roughly 60 million Americans filling out March Madness brackets, coupled with the fact that the first 2 days of the tournament will feature a dozen games during work hours, a big hit to worker productivity is a given, especially if undefeated and number one ranked Kentucky, now 31-0, can keep its perfect record intact heading into the tournament. The $1.9 billion in lost productivity sounds big, but the real number might be even bigger. That figure may be on the conservative side, Challenger noted in a press release. So should employers ban workplace bracket pools and block web access to March Madness games broadcast online? Challenger says, absolutely not. Why not? He says any attempt to do so would most likely result in long-term damage to employee morale. So we're coming up on it. The Big East tournament is going on today. Selection Sunday will be Sunday, and then Sunday night after 8 o'clock, once the teams are announced, you can bet we'll all be downloading our brackets and starting to fill them out, waiting for a tip-off Thursday next at 12 noon. Wait a minute. 12 noon on a Thursday? I'm going to miss the games to be here. But we'll be right back. I got to find a substitute.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Good old Neil Sedaka with Breaking Up is Hard to Do, and that's what Costco and American Express are going through right now. Now, most families are members of the Costco Wholesale shopping centers, and they've acknowledged that they are splitting with American Express last Friday, and it's close to reaching a deal with a new credit card company for exclusive rights to serve the giant retailer's customers. Costco should be in a position to announce a new partner probably sooner rather than later, said spokesman Bob Nelson, who's raising the possibility that that could happen as early as next week. The company, which is based in Issaquah, Washington, east of Seattle, has been talking with several credit card firms for some time in anticipation of a break with Amex. And last fall, Costco ended its partnership with Amex in Canada, choosing instead a Capital One MasterCard. Costco's efforts to hook up with a lower cost credit card company have rattled some of its U.S. customers. "It's the only reason I have an American Express card," Tim Young said Friday outside of a Costco store in San Juan Capistrano, where he had put his car through the store's $7.99 car wash and picked up a few odds and ends inside. As usual, Young said, his purchase included something he had not planned to buy, a pair of jeans he had decided on the spur of the moment that his teenage son could use, ratcheting the bill up a little bit higher. For the last 15 years, Amex has been the only credit card accepted at Costco, a membership-only business with 50 million discount-minded customers. The store otherwise accepts only cash or debit cards. Under the exclusive deal, Costco also heavily marketed its own branded American Express cards to its members, though they were free to use other Amex cards in the stores. Analysts said the relationship has been a boon to both, particularly the New York credit card company. Amex said Thursday that the relationship would end in March 2016 when its current 10-year contract with Costco expires. Meanwhile, Nelson said it's business as usual with American Express for the next 13 months. Nelson said the warehouse chain intends to make the transition as easy as possible for customers. Members might have to sign up for another credit card, he said, but the new partner might be able to buy Amex's portfolio and simply provide customers with new cards. The Amex announcements, which shook its shares, is a sign of a shifting balance of power at the checkout counter as giant retailers such as Costco can afford to squeeze ever lower swipe fees from credit card companies. At the same time, Amex and its rivals face an increasingly competitive landscape as new payment systems arise. For American Express, the split with Costco marks another blow as it struggles to meet revenue targets and find new ways to grow. The Costco partnership represented 8% or $80 billion of American Express's billed business and about 20% or $14 billion of its interest-bearing credit portfolio, said analyst Richard Shane of J.P. Morgan Chase. Still, the company said a renewed deal didn't make sense given the terms Costco was demanding. The bottom line is that the economics weren't going to work for us, said Marina H. Norville, an Amex spokeswoman. As a company that prides itself on customer service, we needed to deliver something that makes sense, and the economics just weren't there. She said Costco was seeking significantly lower fees than the average 2.45% it now charges merchants on each transaction. For years, American Express had the luxury of being able to charge merchants a premium price as much as 6% of sales at one point in exchange for access to well-heeled customers who typically spent more on average than other cardholders and paid off their balances earlier. American Express customers spend on average $142.82 per transaction versus just $90.44 for MasterCard, $84.67 for Visa, and $63.91 for Discover, according to Jim Sinegal, who's a senior analyst for Morningstar Incorporated. For Amex, the strategy has the double benefit of generating high fee income while keeping credit risk down. Even today, about 80% of the company's revenue comes from swiping the cards and only 20% from interest income on pending balances. American Express also was an early mover in the rewards business, offering exclusive perks with airlines and hotels, and in the partnership business, such as with Costco. The partnership had allowed American Express to expand its distribution to Costco's relatively affluent members, and Costco got access to Amex's high spenders. And the retailer's heft gave it the ability to demand lower swipe fees than smaller merchants paid to Amex. Lately, though, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and an array of rivals have made inroads into American Express's core upscale market with their own versions of premium deals for consumers and merchants, and they began offering more generous rewards programs. Meanwhile, American Express's partnership business has been under pressure. While it recently renewed co-branding deals with Delta Airlines and Starwood Hotels, it lost relationships with American Airlines and United Airlines Continental Unit. American Express shares dropped $2.40 or nearly 3% last Friday to close at $78.08 and have fallen 8% for the entire week. So definitely very interesting to see how both American Express and Costco will come out of this. And as a Costco member, it'll be interesting to see, am I getting a new card or do I have to apply for one? And I've always questioned why the exclusivity at Costco for American Express, but obviously there were some perks there as well. In our show promo, I talked about how millennials are not job hopping, and that could be a bad thing. Now, if you remember the good old days, you remember your dad or your uncle retiring from their company after 30 or 40 years and getting the proverbial gold watch. And then in the mid-1980s, a new trend called job hopping started, where people would work at one place for 2 or 3 years and then hop to another company, usually for more pay or a better title. Now, if you do any internet searches, you might think that job hopping is on the rise, particularly among self-obsessed, entitled millennials who spend more time taking selfies at bars with their friends than figuring out what they want to do with their lives. Yet, when you look at the cold, hard facts, the exact opposite is true. In fact, millennials and workers across the board are more loyal than they have been in some time. And that's not necessarily a good thing, at least for workers. Now, if you don't believe me, the Washington Post recently did a study which shows that millennials have stayed at their jobs longer, on average 3.2 years, than at any time since 1983. You still don't believe me? The Bureau of Labor Statistics did a study which shows that in the past decade, workers are staying at their jobs longer, not shorter, on average 4.6 years. And what this says is that the typical worker in 2004 spent 4 years at their company. In 2014, that number jumped to 4.6 years, a 15% increase in loyalty. But why is job hopping declining? What really causes job hopping, and what causes people to go from one job to another? There's always going to be a part of it that stems from people changing their minds about their careers. But if history has taught us anything, it's that human nature has stayed relatively stable over the past 10,000 years or so. So the percentage of chronic job hoppers in the world probably is the same as it always was. What really causes job hopping is the amount of job opportunity that's out there. After all, if there are a lot of new jobs being created with higher salaries and better chances for advancement, logic suggests that more people will take those jobs, leaving their old ones behind. So what's causing the decline in job hopping? As the old presidential slogan goes, it's the economy, stupid. Now, why is this bad? It's a simple formula, really. The better the economy, the more opportunity. The more people changing out their old jobs for better ones, the worse the economy, the less opportunity out there, and so people stay at their jobs longer. So really, job hopping is an indicator of a good economy, and it also forces up wages because there is more competition for labor. And the numbers back that up, too. The ratio between wages and corporate profits has never been higher, largely because job hopping is down. Companies are not paying their workers more because they have little fear of them leaving. And here's a not-so-bold prediction. That will start changing this year. The economy, albeit slowly, is starting to improve, which should cause job hopping to increase. In turn, that will force companies to start paying workers more. So to conclude all this, the first thing is the idea that millennials today are somehow less decisive or more prone to leave than previous generation is, as the numbers show, fundamentally untrue. In reality, a bad economy has caused a decrease in job hopping as opportunity has dropped. But here's another point. Job hopping will probably creep up again soon as the economy slowly improves. Companies who want to keep their talent would be smart by figuring out how to retain their employees in a more competitive environment today instead of sitting around and watching their best people leave tomorrow. So interesting take on that. And I know coming out of the recruiting industry where I worked prior to owning Crown Trophy, one of the things that we saw a lot and we had as we qualified candidates was you would see a candidate. They would start out with one company, work for 2 or 3 years, maybe get promoted with that company, and then on their next job, they're out. And then they would work at that company for 2 or 3 years and then move to another company. And oftentimes it was salary-based. Many times, though, it was just title-based. You know, so, for instance, I worked in the clinical field in pharmaceuticals, and it might be they were a clinical research associate. Then they moved up to clinical research scientist. Then they wanted to be an associate director of clinical studies. And it just kept going. And the only way they could get these positions, because the companies had a full workforce, was to end up moving somewhere else. And I had one gentleman that I can recall who maybe had 2 or 3 years of experience, but wanted a director-level position. And I kept telling him that doesn't happen in this industry. You don't reach director-level until you've been in the industry for 15 years. He kept hopping from one job to another about every year and a half to 2 years, and he was at the director level with a startup biotech company within about 10 years. He called me one day to rub it in, but you know, the company folded about 6 months later. But still, it just went to show how you know there was no loyalty like back in the old days when mom and dad used to work for the same company for 30 or 40 years. Well, there's a lot of research going on about how entrepreneurship changes you. And every innovator and venture seeker talks about how entrepreneurship changes them, and the change is deep and often irreversible. Now, some things you do in life will change you forever. Obvious examples may be falling in love, having a baby, graduating college, or maybe even having your first beer. For many, myself included, starting your first business is one of those things. It was way more impactful than my first beer. Getting entrepreneurs to accurately describe how it changes you is challenging. It matters, of course, what you do now, how successful you've been, and what you did before. But nearly every innovator and venture seeker that I've ever talked to agrees that the change is deep and irreversible. It hits you like a freight train. The sudden realization you are an entrepreneur doesn't come on slowly, says Timothy Faulkner, who is the CEO of Evangelize Communications, a communications software firm in Houston. That long-burning feeling of knowing there's a better way immediately has purpose. Now, here are four ways, based on my non-scientific research, I think that most entrepreneurs would agree they have been changed by the experience. First, you think differently. Being an entrepreneur, going out on your own, not only changes what you do, it's deeper. Entrepreneurship changes the way you think about almost everything. Once you've spread your wings, you start to see opportunity and challenges around every corner. Every person you meet is a potential customer, investor, or brand evangelist. Living in this space for a while, you begin to ask questions and connect ideas in creative and sometimes disturbing ways. How can this Greek yogurt lid leverage SEO production for my medical care client? Those near you get used to it. Too many people associate entrepreneurs as people that just start a business, but I don't think that that's the case. In reality, true entrepreneurs are problem solvers, says Yazan Arkari, who's the co-founder of Pixel, a UX design shop in Chicago. They're people that find ways to make things better, and businesses are merely a byproduct of the value being created. Another way is by being out of the box means you can't go back. Now, if you've ever bought anything from IKEA or anything which requires assembly, you know putting it together can be a pain. But once it's spread out on the floor, trying to put it back in the box, good luck. That's what entrepreneurship does. Once you see your ideas and your passion spread out on the floor and you see the potential of what can be built, it's really challenging to fold yourself up and go back into that neat little box. Corporate life just won't fit anymore. Third, Once passion starts, it can't be shut off. Not everyone should be an entrepreneur. Those that should be and those who make great entrepreneurs have a deep, boundless passion about everything. That means that once it's unleashed, it can't be shut off. And oftentimes, the best that deeply passionate entrepreneurs can hope for is to direct that energy. That by itself is a challenge. Shutting it off is impossible. And finally, freedom is priceless. That's not a political bumper sticker. It's a truth about having the freedom and flexibility to follow your dreams and put your best effort into your ideas. Even if you make less money than you would by being in a corporate corner office, and many entrepreneurs do for a long time, you can't put a monetary tag on that freedom, or an emotional one. It's simply not for sale. So what changes when you become an entrepreneur? It's more than four things. It's actually everything. Let's take a look now at how LinkedIn can be used to advance your career. Now, I've often talked on the show about the need to use LinkedIn to advance your career. LinkedIn has been adding features that make it even more valuable for personal branding. These features make LinkedIn uniquely powerful because the site can now be your exclusive career manager, helping you with virtually all aspects of your career if you use the features correctly. I talked to my old boss a few months ago, and one of the things that he said is, in the recruiting industry anyway, is that where Monster and Career Builder used to be the go-to sites, not anymore. Now, if you want to find quality talent, businesses are looking on LinkedIn. One of the dozens of valuable career management features on LinkedIn, here are the ones that I think are the best. First, it increases visibility and credibility. So we're looking now at your profile. Your LinkedIn profile is you when you aren't there. Since LinkedIn is the place where people go to learn about you, it's the ultimate opportunity for visibility with decision makers who need to know who you are. Now, with all the features that let you personalize your profile, like the custom background image and the ability to shuffle the sections of your profile, you can paint a compelling portrait of the value that you deliver. Your profile then does double duty as your complete career portfolio, a repository of wins and key accomplishments that are important to your career success. Because it is a living virtual document, your profile grows as you grow, and now that you can add reports, white papers, images, presentations, and videos to your profile, you can deliver a rich multimedia experience for viewers. One thing that you cannot do is set up a LinkedIn profile and then forget it. You constantly have to be updating with new information about you, projects completed, benefits to the company, etc. It also allows you blogging. The LinkedIn long-form publishing platform gives you the opportunity to convey your thought leadership and achieve visibility in an inimitable way. It also helps you enhance your credibility by reinforcing your profile with your content and your point of view. And you can make your thoughts known to more than 330 million members, expanding your reach by the millions with just one click. You can also build and nurture your network, and that's done through contacts and connections. You can use LinkedIn as your single contact management tool. It allows you to import all of your contacts from your iPhone and your email. Thanks to custom tagging, you can organize and group your contacts too, making LinkedIn your one-stop shop for networking. Relationships. A little known but extremely valuable tool is available under LinkedIn's Relationships link. Found right under the photo in each connection's profile, click on a relationship and you can make notes to record important information about your connections. LinkedIn also gives you the ability to manage conversations, track how you met, and even set reminders so your key connections don't forget about you. Most importantly, you should join groups. I think of groups as virtual professional associations on steroids. They're the place to see and be seen by your people, people doing the same work you do or working in the industry that you serve. Engaging in conversations with other group members keeps you connected, lets you express your point of view, and allows you to stay current with the most important trends and news in your field. There's also the LinkedIn Connected app. The fairly new LinkedIn Connected app provides an efficient way to nurture your professional relationships. Since most career opportunities come from the people you already know and from warm leads, the people that they know, it's essential that you maintain relationships and stay on top of mind. LinkedIn Connected provides updates about your connections, things like their birthdays, work anniversaries, promotions, etc., and it lets you reach out directly to acknowledge them. You also want to learn and grow professionally, and that's done through Pulse. Found under the Interest tab, LinkedIn Pulse helps you stay on top of what's happening in your area of expertise. It contains customized, relevant news with content tailored to your job function or industry. You can personalize your Pulse feed and identify the influencers from among hundreds of trusted sources, choosing the ones who will provide you with the greatest value. There's discussion topics. Now, joining LinkedIn groups will enhance your network, but actively participating in their discussion topics will help you keep the saw sharp. You can see which topics become relevant, be alerted to content that you might not otherwise have seen, and stay at the forefront of different views related to your industry and job function. And next, lead by search tools. LinkedIn features are especially great for enriching your role as a leader. One of the best LinkedIn benefits is the ability to search within a web of professional connections, finding the resources you need when you need them. You can source staff, build partnerships, identify vendors, open clients' doors, etc. With over 330 million members, it's the best place to go when you need to augment your team or expand your client base. Another key tool is endorsements and recommendations. LinkedIn endorsements and recommendations allow you to publicly acknowledge your team and others in your network. It's a positive way to stay connected, express appreciation, and publicize achievements, and be engaged in your community. That's right, LinkedIn is a great way to stay informed about what's going on inside your own organization. Select your company from the menu when you're creating your experience section, and you will automatically become a follower, receiving updates from your communications people. And this helps you stay on top of what is happening in product development. For example, even if you work in market research or accounts payable, this also gives you the opportunity to become a brand ambassador when you share your organization's updates, delivering greater value to your employer, regardless of your role. So, again, I can't emphasize enough the importance of LinkedIn in the professional world and how important it is that you have an updated profile. I've talked to some folks who started a profile. They never put a picture up. They put the very bare minimum information. And you'll see there's a graph that'll tell you how much of your profile is completed. And it'll say like 20%, 50%, 95%. I know of one person that their profile was at about 10%. And they were wondering why nobody within their industry had ever reached out to talk to them, even though they had about 20 or 30 years experience. Well, part of the reason could be that they just don't know enough about you. Now, have you ever had that feeling that maybe your company really doesn't want you there anymore? Well, here are five signs that your company wants you to quit. Now, if you're worried about upcoming layoffs or you're concerned your boss isn't thrilled with you, here are a few things to keep in mind. Now, in a perfect world, you and your boss would get along swimmingly with a free exchange of ideas that leads to promotions, all while your company continues to grow and thrive. But let's face it, that is a rare situation. Often, instead, you begrudgingly do the work you are assigned as your boss tries to accomplish unrealistic goals and timelines dictated from up above. All the while, you're looking for the next opportunity to flee. This was especially the case for employees in the last few years before businesses began to hire again. What happens, though, when the dynamic shifts and your company wants you out? Already in 2015, eBay has announced that it will cut 7% of its workforce. Oil company Baker Hughes, hit by low oil prices, announced it will let go 7,000 employees. And DreamWorks Animation is going to cut around 15% of its workforce as well. Then again, financial stability may not be the only reason a company may want you to quit. Put simply, your boss, or perhaps your boss's boss, just may not like you. You might have gotten into an argument with the wrong executive, or your work may be leaving something to be desired. Remember, knowledge is power. Knowing that you may very well be soon shown the door will give you the opportunity to start networking. So the choice becomes yours if you stay or leave, says Amanda Augustine, a career coach and resume writer for job search site The Ladders. Keep these five signals in mind if you're worried about upcoming layoffs or concerned that your boss isn't thrilled with you. Lisa Quast, who's a career coach in Seattle, Washington, had a client call her up, worried that her boss no longer picked her for prime roles on projects. The client had a good relationship with the manager, and she couldn't figure out why she was suddenly being cast aside. After some probing by Quast, the client realized that she had yelled at her boss around other employees and then immediately left the next day for an extended vacation. I bet her boss just sat and stewed during the employee's vacation, says Quast. And when the employee came back, then the repercussions occurred. If you feel that your boss has suddenly started to pick others for choice assignments, first think about some of the ways you might have offended your manager. Maybe you turned in a report late, which he got in trouble for. Maybe she saw you shopping instead of working. Maybe you accidentally CC'd his boss on an email you weren't supposed to. And it could be any number of reasons. If you did have a run-in with your boss, go ahead and apologize. If they accept your apology and things improve, you're likely in the clear. If things remain icy, well, at least you know. Now, during the recession, it wasn't uncommon for companies to delay or even forget about performance reviews altogether. With everyone worried about the future of the company, most managers have little time to focus on your professional future. But that seems to be reversing as hiring continues to gain steam and competition for talent heats up. Now, if you haven't had a review in over a year, make sure to ask for one. You should be receiving regular feedback, says The Ladder's Augustine, especially if you ask for that feedback and they are skirting the issue. On the other hand, if you are getting regular feedback, but it's always accompanied with others in the room or documented through email, you should start sending out your resume as your boss may be building a case to let you go. And you see this all the time. A company decides that one part of its business is underperforming while another segment has plenty of room to grow. And in that situation, plenty of businesses will shift investment from the laggard to the upstart. According to reports, AOL is doing this, sending more money to online titles that have performed well, while other groups will soon face layoffs. Even transitions within departments can render you jobless if you're a member of the wrong team. It's smart to keep your ear to the ground. Talk with members of other departments around the water cooler, says Augustine. And plus, who knows, if your department folds, you might find that you could be an asset to another part of the company. New CEOs often opt to make staff cuts when they arrive. Some do this to focus the company on something their predecessor overlooked. Shortly after his February 2014 ascension, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella announced the largest round of layoffs in the company's history, in part so the company could focus on new technology and trends like the Internet of Things. Anytime you have a new boss, you always need to be alert, says Augustine. She recommends evaluating why there's a new head. Is it because of an overall change in vision in how the company will run? Will your department suffer from this new focus? How close were you to the old regime? The closer you were to previous leaders, the more concerned you should be. In this case, you should schedule some time with your new manager. Feel them out and see how they view your role in the changing company. If they're short on details or you get a sense they're not interested in your help, then you might need to start looking for a new job. Sometimes your job is at risk for reasons that are completely out of your control, like when your company enters a merger or acquisition. It's expected that after the deal is finalized, they will go through the company with a fine-tooth comb, says Quast. She also says that departments like human resources and marketing are often hit hardest during these transitions, as merged companies are likely to have role duplication in these areas. If you work with external clients or customers, you have a better chance of surviving, at least at first. In these situations, your boss will also be out of the loop on layoff plans. Qua says you should protect yourself by reaching out to your contacts now, and that way you can find a new job on your own time. It's currently 12:43. We're going to step away. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 7 habits of the world's richest people. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. Mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You shouldn't give for the accolades. You shouldn't give for the back pats. You shouldn't give for the tax breaks either. At Jersey Mike's, we think you should give for one reason and one reason only: to give. Come into any Jersey Mike's location during March for our month of giving, and join us as we help support local charities across the country all month long. It's your chance to get a tasty sub sandwich and help do something good for the community you call home. And on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's is proud to be donating 100% of sales to a charity right in your own backyard. Jersey Mike's. Help nourish. Help flourish. Be a sub above.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next 10-13 minutes, and we'll wrap it up and turn it over to Afterlife Real Life with Trish. And that last commercial was talking about Jersey Mike's, and I had a chance to go there Tuesday night. My wife was going out to dinner with some people from work, and so I was staying late at work. I said, I'm going to shoot over to Jersey Mike's, got my sandwich, drove home. And, of course, there was a little bit of a communication error. And my wife had ordered Chipotle for my sons and I. So now I think I'm having Chipotle tonight because I had my Jersey Mike's sub. Absolutely one of the best subs I've ever had. And it seems odd that you get that excited about a chain of sub shops. But Jersey Mike's, if you've never been, there's one here in Flemington on Rayville Avenue. Go there. Treat yourself, have a sub, and then, as they mentioned in the commercial, that the proceeds on the 25th will all go to a local charity. Can't remember the charity. Maybe I'll have to go back to Jersey Mike's and find out what the charity is, and then I'll report back next week. But absolutely great subs, and I don't know what it is about when a sandwich is made for you. It just seems to taste better than when you make it yourself. Something to think about. Well, a lot of people always have the dream, the desire. They want to be rich, and a lot of people don't want to work for it, but they want to be rich, and they get jealous of the people who are better off than they are. But it's been boiled down to the 7 habits of the world's richest people. And if you want to be rich, well, then you have to think rich. That sounds simple, but seriously, there are 7 habits that most rich people do every day that you can incorporate into your life and maybe see an increase in your personal bottom line. Now, are there habits wealthy people consistently practice that impact their success? Are there traits or strategies that you can incorporate into your own day-to-day lives that can give you a better chance of financial success? In his book, Rich Habits, The Daily Success Habits of Wealthy Individuals, Tom Corley suggests that there are. For 5 years, he observed the habits, which he defines as daily, unconscious practices of 233 rich people and 128 people living in poverty. And what he found were significant differences in the daily activities and attitudes of the two groups. Now, here are 7 habits commonly practiced by the wealthy individuals that he observed. Number 1, they're persistent. Now, while we generally think of persistence as more of a personality trait, it's certainly a habit that can be learned and practiced over time. When faced with adversity, wealthy individuals keep pushing through, knowing that success could be right around the corner. They're persistent in all areas of their lives, not just when it comes to money-generating activities. According to Corley, persistence is evident in everything that wealthy individuals do. 67% were cognizant of and careful about how they spent their time. For instance, TV watching was limited to less than 1 hour per day. 81% made a consistent effort to control their thoughts, feelings, and words. 80% had pursued a single goal for at least 1 year. 88% read at least 30 minutes every day in order to increase their knowledge. Number 2, they set attainable goals. Now, whether we realize it or not, we're constantly setting goals for ourselves. Anytime we look to the future and think about what we'd like to have to do, have or do, rather, we're essentially setting a goal for ourselves. I want to become a recognized leader in my field. I need to bring in more money in order to meet my financial obligations. I want to take an expensive vacation with my family every year. Those are goals. The problem with those goals, of course, is that they aren't specific enough and they aren't necessarily realistic. For instance, if I'm working for minimum wage, going on an expensive holiday probably isn't in the cards for me this year. Corley found that wealthy individuals consistently set specific attainable goals. These goals were realistic and had a specific set of actions that would need to be carried out in order to be met. For instance, instead of saying, I would like to earn $1 million this year, a more realistic and specific goal might be, I will bring in an additional $25,000 this year by increasing my production capacity, assuming it's actually possible to increase production. This is a goal that can realistically be attained through careful planning and hard work. Corley writes, if you want or your wish or dream to come true, you need to create goals around them. Pursue those goals to achieve the other goals. You need to break your wish or dream down into manageable tasks that you are able to perform. The accumulation over time of the completed goals will move you forward toward realizing your dream. You will still need outside help and outside influences, but luck has a way of finding the prepared and the persistent. In other words, having a dream is great, but you need to set up smaller, more manageable goals to reach along the way. As you reach those smaller goals, you check them off your list and move ever closer to achieving your dream. The rich folks also had a career mentor, and this is a big one. In fact, 93% of wealthy individuals had a mentor who assisted them on their path to success. Finding a great mentor can be challenging, but the payoff can be huge. Condoleezza Rice stresses the importance of finding a mentor, but also gives a warning. Search for role models you can look up to and people who take an interest in your career. But here's an important warning. You don't have to have mentors who look like you. Had I been waiting for a black female Soviet specialist mentor, I would still be waiting. Most of my mentors have been old white men because they were the ones who dominated my field. There are many reasons that mentors are such an important support, but here are a few of the key ones. They help you avoid mistakes that they themselves have already made. They inspire and motivate you to stay on task and keep working toward your goals. They connect you with people who can help you along the way. It's all in who you know. To learn exactly what to look for in a mentor, check out the article, Seven Key Qualities of an Effective Mentor, available online. Number four, the wealthy are positive. Now, according to Corley's observations, the wealthy individuals he observed generally had a positive outlook on life, were upbeat and happy, and were grateful for what they had. Some more specific findings were as follows. 94% avoided gossip. 98% believed in limitless possibilities and opportunities. 94% enjoyed their chosen career. 87% were happily married. 92% were happy with their level of health. Some may wonder here if they were happy with their lives because they were wealthy, or they were wealthy because they were happy and positive. It's the old chicken and the egg syndrome. He also found consistently negative attitudes and beliefs cropping up among the poor. 85% were unhappy in their jobs or careers. 53% were unhappy in their marriage. 78% believed optimism wasn't necessary in order to be successful. 77% believed lying was necessary to achieve success. Attitude matters, to be sure. And while it seems a far stretch to say that simply being happy leads to wealth, maintaining a positive outlook and attitude certainly can't hurt. Number five, the wealthy educate themselves. As mentioned above, 88% of wealthy individuals spend at least 30 minutes each day reading in order to expand their knowledge. In addition, 85% read two or more books per month on an ongoing basis. Nonfiction books like biographies, self-help books, or materials related to their business or career were all popular choices. Wealthy individuals were able to translate what they learned into actionable information that they could apply to their daily decisions. They made a habit of prioritizing self-education and used what they learned to reach their goals and improve their lives. Number six, they track their progress. When you live off the cuff without much thought as to what you're doing, it's nearly impossible to know what you need to change or do differently in order to succeed. For instance, if you don't keep a monthly budget, it's impossible to know how or where you can save money. Corley found that wealthy individuals were almost obsessive about tracking and measuring in all areas of their lives. 67% kept up-to-date to-do lists. 94% balanced their bank account each month. 57% counted the calories they consumed. 62% set goals and tracked whether or not they were on track of achieving them. Setting and attaining goals becomes far more difficult when you have no yardstick by which to measure your progress. To give yourself the best chance of success, keep yourself organized and track the progress you're making toward your goals. And number seven, they surrounded themselves with success-oriented people. Wealthy individuals seem to intuitively understand the importance of being around other goal and success-oriented people. They are intentional about nurturing these positive relationships because they invest the time and energy necessary to help these relationships grow. Corley writes, wealthy, successful people are very particular about who they associate with. Their goal is to develop relationships with other success-minded individuals. When they stumble onto someone who fits the bill, then they devote an enormous amount of their time and energy into building a strong relationship. They grow the relationship from a sapling into a redwood. Relationships are the currency of the wealthy and successful. His suggestion is to dedicate 30 minutes each day to nurturing such a relationship. And this could mean being a sounding board, giving advice, or just generally being a helpful companion. As you build and nurture this relationship, that person is likely to reciprocate and become a trusted and valuable supporter. Do you practice those 7 habits in your own life? Have you been able to achieve your goals through consistently applying those strategies? Or, hopefully, is it something that you may want to look at moving forward? Coming up on the end of the show, and before we do, we always close with sports. In NASCAR, Kurt Busch has been reinstated by NASCAR after the Delaware courts decided not to press criminal charges in the wake of a domestic abuse complaint by his girlfriend. Chevrolet has also lifted their suspension of Kurt Busch as well, meaning that he is cleared to drive the number 41 Haas Automation Chevrolet this weekend at Phoenix. Defending series champion Kevin Harvick won last week's race at Las Vegas, which means that in the last 8 races dating back to last year, Harvick has either finished first or second. Take that, Gio Bravanti. In the NCAA basketball, as previously mentioned, this is championship week in NCAA basketball, and right now the AP Top 10 looks like this. Kentucky is number 1 and undefeated, followed by Duke, Virginia, Villanova, and Arizona. Wisconsin is number 6, followed by Gonzaga, Maryland, Kansas, and Northern Iowa, rounding out the top 10. Good luck with all of your brackets next week, and hopefully you will do well in your pools. Keep in mind that the Crown Trophy basketball pool will be back on Sunday night. If you're interested, shoot me an email, and we will get you an invite to join that basketball pool. In Major League Baseball, spring training is underway, and the outcast Alex Rodriguez hit his first home run of the preseason on Tuesday. Restaurant Week is coming up here in Flemington at the end of March, so make sure that you circle the dates on your calendars. I believe it's March 23rd through 29th, so make sure that, as I mentioned earlier in the program, that you support local restaurants. They've had a very tough winter, and I know that they would appreciate it, and I would appreciate it if you'd support your local restaurateur and a local businessman and take your significant other out to dinner this weekend. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you this week, as I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. He said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Now, if you have ideas for an upcoming program or a topic or guest, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. 2 police officers were shot last night in Ferguson, Missouri during a protest. St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar describes their injuries as serious and says whomever fired the shots appeared to have been aiming for the officers.
The only shots that we were aware of were the shots that were taken from across the street. In other words, these police officers were standing there and they were shot just because they were police officers.
Last night's demonstration came after it was announced that Ferguson's police chief would be resigning effective March 19th. Reverend Carlton Lee told the AP he expects profiling will continue even without the police chief.
Chief Jackson resigns and the second in command takes over. The culture of the Ferguson Police Department is still there. In my opinion, the better move would be to disband the entire Ferguson Police Department.
Following last week's Justice Department report, Ferguson City Manager and four other employees also parted ways. This is USA Radio News.